I had a great morning this morning. It was incredible. I got up at the right time, praised the Lord, and it was as if I had an extra hour. It really was unbelievable. And something happened to me that I thought, there's a sermon. Because in a moment, the hour I thought I had just eroded in front of my eyes. And as I'd stared at my mobile phone that is updated by the internet, so as I stared at the truth in disbelief that it was actually the truth at 20 past 10 when I was still at home, and it was just unbelievable, you know, that we can put our trust in a manual clock. But I knew I hadn't updated, Tim, that massive clock on my kitchen wall. Yeah, you see, size is everything. I knew I hadn't updated it. And you can just imagine the kind of disbelief. And we were arguing, I use that broadly, as to what, so we had no idea. What is the real time? We'd changed some clocks. Oh, dear. So Claire has walked the walk of shame. I got here on time. if you can flick that on. So it was, oh my word. Okay. Can we stand for the word of God? I'm reading Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 11, and I'm reading from the NLT. All praise to God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear Son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. He has showered us with his kindness along with all wisdom and understanding. God has now revealed to us his mysterious will regarding Christ, which is to fulfill his own good plan. And this is the plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his plan. Blessed be the reading of God's word. Amen. Are we there? Great. There we go. So we're starting a series, although you got some sense of it in the last 2 weeks. There'll be two elements we're looking at, but over the next few months, we'll look at the character of God. Am I like God? Am I like him? Then we'll also look at some of those spiritual disciplines, the things that draw God to me. So because I was supposed to start this a couple of weeks ago, you had Craig that did the nature, the triune nature of God. And David talked about conversations with God, that incredible need for us to pray. Do you know it's a spiritual discipline? And do you know it's an act of faith that we pray to the air? That's what people see and think. And it changes stuff here on the physical. When we pray, it's just an act of faith purely in our prayers. Amen? So we're going to look at Corinthians. calm down, Ben. You're not late now. We're going to look at the character of God. So quickly, you've got a minute just with those people you're sitting by. Think of three or four attributes that are the character of God. You've got a minute. Go now. In fact, it's such an easy one, you're only going to get 30 seconds. So I lied. No, well, I decided, okay, I changed my mind. But I did. So I gave you, said I'd give you a minute, and you had actually 32. I just want to say, just in case of the busyness of afterwards, and if it hasn't already been said, so great to see Richard and Aileen. Dear friends, all the way from New Zealand, please go make a fuss of them at the end. So, if I'd got here a bit earlier, I'd have had a flip chart. Just shout out a few.
Love.
Kindness. Oh, okay, over here.
Mercy.
Holy.
Faithful.
Truth.
Patience.
One more.
Failure.
Amen. Amen. And we're going to look at some of those over the next X amount of weeks. But these aren't to be nice sermons on faithfulness, on love, on patience. It's something deeper than that. So why, you say, so why should we look at the character of God? On the 7th of January, God broke into our service and asked us to surrender our whole lives to him. Mark 12, 29 to 31, love the Lord your God with everything you have. And that resulted in a call from the front that caused the whole church to stand there in awe of God, saying, Lord, I surrender all to you. So we asked ourselves, what does that mean? Loving him with everything we have means that we are like him, means that we are Christ like with all our strength, with all our mind, with all our soul, with all our hearts. Pretty sure I got those backwards. So we asked ourselves, do we look like Christ? Are my responses like his? Do I react like he does? What is his character like? And do I emulate that? So over the next few months, we're going to look at different aspects of God's character. And while we may have a good understanding of any particular characteristics, our human understanding of love, of patience, of wisdom, of kindness, of mercy will always fall short to what it looks like towards God's awesome standard. And that was the challenge to those that I asked to prepare. Let's not come from it from our own understanding and our own intellect, but let us look for something that makes us say, gosh, I can't love like that. I can't have patience like that. Without the help of God. Without the help of God. Without the help of God. Romans 5, 3 to 5 says this: we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. That word, character, dokaimai, means approving trial through affliction. So character means an approving trial through affliction. We started off saying, gosh, the character of God, yes. But look at character, it'll be so good, it'll be so good. Yet actually the Bible tells us the true character is a proving trial through affliction. And if we're to be like him, it's a bending of our will. It's a bending of how we are in the natural desires to becoming more like him. So what we see here is that you cannot see godly character develop without it being a trial. But when it does, it gives us hope. Hope there is elpis, E-L-P-I-S. And it means the joyful and confident expectation of eternal salvation. Do you know what we bring here? Here's a great example. man's hope is this. Please, please, I don't know who's speaking on hope, but it is not fingers crossed. The hope that God has is a joyful and confident expectation of eternal salvation. Amen? So whatever you're going through, I hope in something bigger. My expectation of eternal salvation. So a developed character gives us hope in our eternal salvation. Our character here on earth has a direct link to our eternal salvation. Eternal. We're time-bound people, aren't we? Aren't I this morning? Bound by time. And it's difficult to comprehend eternity. Yet our character, as it grows and develops into something that is like Christ, it has a direct impact to my eternal salvation and my eternal soul. Okay, this one I will give you a minute for, I promise. But John Eldridge asked this question in his book on character. What is the effect Christianity is intended to have upon a person who seeks to live as a follower of Jesus Christ? Not as straightforward. You've got a minute. Discuss. Okay. There you are. Oh, there you go. Stop. Okay, I'm not going to ask you. You can discuss those in home group. John Eldridge, he asked this question and suggests that your answer to this question will shape how you see everything. The gospel, what you believe God is up to, your thoughts about church, community service, justice, prayer, worship. How you determine your answer will shape an awful lot about how you see God. And he suggests that Ephesians 1, 4 to 5 gives us the answer. Now, we read it out earlier on, but let's go again. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. Amen. What can we see from there? Even before he made the world, God loved you and chose you. Before any of this, we can't comprehend that. Before any of this physical stuff that we see, before it, God saw you. Your life stretched out and he loved you and chose you. What did he chose you? He chose you to be holy and without fault. God chose us and loved us to be holy and without fault. My beloved New King James says, blameless, that you were created to be holy. We'll look at it later on, but be holy as I am holy. We don't have a God that teases us. We don't have a God that taunts us with statements that we are not able to live to when we partner with him. So attaining his holiness, not whatever we see as holy, but his holiness must be possible. Otherwise, that scripture just mocks us. Be holy as he is holy. The Message version talks about holy and whole. be holy and whole. And I think that wholeness is a result of being holy and without blame. I really couldn't get back to the word whole through blameless. But I sat there and thought about it, which is why I use the NLT, holy and without fault. But actually, to be that place in our fallen nature, then we're whole. God has made us whole again. Therefore, we can truly come to his throne blameless. Amen. 1 Peter, are we there? There we go. 1 Peter 1:3. Therefore, gird up your loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, here we go, it was the next scripture, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Let's just ponder, let's just take a pause, a Selah. Father, that just seems beyond me. Lord God, I'm grateful that you are in my life. Lord Jesus, that I fall short every single day. But when I live for you, you make me holy and whole, blameless without fault. Amen. Think about that for a moment. Be holy in your conduct. Is your conduct holy? Oh no, there's more things to do. Holy, did I put it up? Yes, Haggaius. Remember, God told us to be like this, a saint. Sacred, physically pure, what I do with my body. Think very much of sexual sin. Blameless, consecrated. Like God. That is what holy, a saint, sacred, physically pure, blameless, consecrated. Like God, be holy as I am holy. How can we truly comprehend being like God? We're human, we're frail, we're fallible. We like to touch things, feel things, smell things. God, we know his spirit, and even it talks about his arms and his face and his body. They're metaphors to help us understand. How can a God hold us in his hands who also holds the whole universe in the palm of one? We need something we can see, touch, feel, know, understand. I just imagine the Son saying, "This is where I come in, Father. This is where I come onto the stage. We need Jesus. God gave us Jesus, his only Son, who was fully man and fully God, as an example as to how we should live. His example was not to show us how God could live on this earth. I don't believe that, no. He gave us Jesus to show us how we could walk when we have been fully reconciled to him. Born again, as God spoke to us earlier on, the slate wiped clean and I start again. I can walk without the sin nature within me. I am a new creation, no more in condemnation. Here in the grace of God I stand. The old ones are still good, and I know to some of you that's not old. Where are we? There we go. Ephesians 1:5, God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. Bringing us through Christ means that through the journey, we look more like him. We look more like him. Father, what did we sing? I would be like you. Give everything, Lord, my whole life to be like you. Romans 8:29 to 30, for God knew his people in advance. There's a theme, there's a plan, you see. And he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And having chosen them, he called them to come to him. And having called them, he gave them right standing with himself. And having given them right standing, he gave them his glory. What a great scripture. What a great scripture. God chose us in advance. He knew. He chose us to become the process of being like his son. He gave us Christ as the firstborn example that many would follow. Having been chosen, we were then called. Having a right standing, he gives us glory. That word, right standing, is justified. Justified is often spoken out just as if I'd never sinned. Right standing is justified. And justified means to render righteous or such as he ought to be. He makes us justified. He renders us righteous as we ought to have been. It's the same plan. It's the same plan when he put Adam and Eve on the garden. And here we are, God working, putting us back to how we ought to be, justified just as if I'd never sinned. God gave us Jesus as an example so we can become how we ought to have been in the beginning before the fall. The purpose of following Christ, I think I put this up, yeah. The purpose of following Christ is to be restored to our original standing with God, who forgives us, heals us, and makes us whole. That's sozo. So we are holy and without blame. Holy and without blame. But there's still a why. There's still a why then, Lord. Why do you do that? Did I put the scripture up? Yes. Ephesians 1, 9 to 11. God has now revealed to us his mysterious will regarding Christ, which is to fulfill his own good plan. And this is the plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for he chose us in advance, it is again, and makes everything work out according to his plan. I need to understand his nature and his character to embrace what he has done for me and step into my identity through becoming more like him. This is the plan. He brings everything under the authority of Christ. Heaven on earth, God's kingdom rule. Evil cast into the lake of fire. The original plan is still in effect. We rule on earth as holy and faultless, extending his kingdom until there is nowhere for the enemy to hide. And then with a world born again. Somebody wrote a book once, "Do we escape the world or save the planet?" My God's into a restoring God. And I believe that this world will be born again. He establishes his kingdom with a new heaven and a new earth as one. Amen. Let me go back a sentence. We rule on earth as holy and faultless, extending his kingdom until there is nowhere for the enemy to hide. And then with a world born again, he establishes his kingdom with a new heaven and a new earth as one. Amen. Amen. All that from becoming more like Christ. All that from understanding his character. We won't go into it, but we've got to think eternally. The enemy teaches us to think about here and now. What is going on right now? You see, there's a grand plan. There was a grand narrative of the Bible that his story in a few months' time will show us. That God, right from the beginning, right the way to Revelation, and continuing on, is on the same plan. And you see, I've been doing some carpentry. I built wardrobes. They look great. At least I think they do. And I got this 2.4 meter length, and I got a 1.5 meter rule. So I could get so far and dot it out, but then I was stuck because I couldn't get all the way. But I realized I didn't have to do dots all the way because I've got enough of a line to draw that going behind me, that as providing I followed that line, I would go in the right direction. And you see, when we think eternally, when we think from the beginning to the end, there's no way we're going to go off course, because we can look back and we can see the line we've come from, and taking the line we come from, we go straight ahead towards the goal. Oh man, that's an amen, even though I've not got the point. But you see, when you think about here and now, so forget the line, I think about here and now, I can go in any direction. I've got nowhere to look back. I could start going in this direction and I go completely off-piste. But when I think eternally, we know where we're going. And we need to think of becoming like Christ in relation to living eternally. Because what we do here on earth impacts eternity. Do you know, time is an infinite, is a limited number. When you put time, when you put any number against infinity, it's always naught. James said, our lives are like a mist. So if I live to be 120, which is what the Bible talks about, and I divide that by infinity, I get naught. My life here on this earth is naught compared to eternity forever and ever. And how we live and how we walk today impacts eternity forever and ever. We don't talk about that so often, but it's in the Bible, and we should, and we must. So, finally, we get to character. Finally, after all of that, so where have we been? God's plan was to make us holy and without fault. He's chosen us before he even made the foundations of the world. It was about being holy and without fault. I've said that. Why? So we can live as we ought to. Because justified, we can live how he always intended us to live, extending and pushing out the walls of the garden, eagerly waiting for him to come back and establish his kingdom here on earth. The plan has not changed. Being like him is getting to know him, understanding his character, understanding how he walks, how he talks, how he responds. Claire and I have situations all the time, and we go, I know how Claire will respond in this one. I know if it will be a good response or a bad response, because we know each other. And when we know Christ, when we know him, we know how he responds. And we change our behavior to be more like him. So let's look at a couple of scriptures on character. Galatians 5:22, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Has anybody seen Evan Almighty? Yeah, and a lady's praying, God, I just want Evan, my husband, to be around more often. And then all of a sudden it is, but it's not in the way she envisaged, and she doesn't like it. Sometimes secular films get it right. And God, as shown by Morgan Freeman, not saying that's right, but comes up to her and starts talking to her, and she doesn't know it's God. And he starts to say, do you know, if somebody were to ask God for more patience, what does he do? Does he give you patience? Or does he give you more opportunity to demonstrate patience? And how hard is that? We have a choice in but a moment, especially with those people that aren't just like us, that don't think in the same way that we think, because we're right, okay? And the way we think is logical to us and makes perfect sense. You are the weirdos. Oh, okay, I'm glad I got a chuckle there. And when we come up against that, we've got a second to decide, how am I going to respond? In my early days of being a dad, I got it bad or wrong almost every day. Every day. Every day, I'm better. I haven't got time to tell you, but I did ever so well recently. Now, pride is not a bad thing. Pride is only a bad thing if you think I'm better than other people, okay? But I was proud with myself because I got it messed up so many times. I responded really well. I'm telling Claire, I responded well, I promise. I promise it was really good. I can't even remember what it was, but I remember thinking, I am growing in Christ as a dad. Colossians 3, 12 to 15. Since God chose you to be holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults. My faults as well. Turning up late, talking about pride. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Stop. Forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. You've got nowhere to go. You've just got nowhere to go. And you may work it so you can find a scripture to say, well, I can have a chat at least and tell them why I'm upset, I'm sure. But actually, the bottom line is forgive. Why? God forgave you. So you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us together in perfect harmony. Oh, there's a sermon in this. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Are you always thankful? True character is shown in how you act in any situation, how you treat each other. Actions do speak louder than words in many circumstances. And you and I have to be on guard against the devil so that when adversity comes our way, we can still exhibit the fruits of the Spirit in word and deed. Titus 1:15, is that up there? Everything is pure to those whose hearts are pure. But nothing is pure to those who are corrupt and unbelieving, because their minds and consciences are corrupted. Such people claim they know God, but they deny him by the way they live. They are detestable, disobedient, worthless for doing any good. Once again, character is shown by our actions. You can say you believe in God, but your works will prove whether you really do or not. Romans 13:14, instead, clothe yourself with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and don't let yourself think about ways to indulge your evil desires. What does it mean to clothe yourself in Christ? Clothe yourself in the characteristics that is Christ. Love, joy, peace, kindness, wisdom, mercy, wholeness, holiness. Clothe yourself in those. Understand them. Put them on. Wear them every day. When you get this, when you clothe yourself in him, there is no room for you to sin. Where did you get that? Let's read it again, Romans 13:14. Instead, clothe yourself with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and don't let yourself think about ways to indulge your evil desires. Oh, here you go. That we should be like him. Why spend a couple of months looking at character? Because God challenged us to surrender our whole lives to him. Not quietly, not you at home, corporately as a church. God says, will you surrender your life? Will you become more like me? And you see, the trouble is, we think that's about what we do. Going to some third world country, taking a job that pays less, going through difficult times. God's standard to surrendering your life is to become more like him. Because when you are more like him, all those other things come from. The purpose of Christianity isn't justice, isn't self-help, isn't truth. You get those Christians that are so keen on truth, and it's good. You get Christians that are about justice, and it's good. But they lead on from a foundation that is Christ. We didn't look at it, but look up 1 Corinthians 3. And when your foundation is Christ, when your character is like him and you build upon that, then what you build is gold, diamonds, sapphires. You can do all that other stuff. You can be worried about truth. You can be worried about justice. You can be worried about being whole and all those other things and not have a foundation that is Christ. You can come in midway and go off in all sorts of areas. We want to be like him. We want to be like him. Give all our lives to be like him. Shall we pray? Father God, Lord Jesus, that we would be like you. Father God, that we wouldn't be fearful and shy away from your call to be holy, from your call to be blameless without fault, to be whole. Lord God, that we would know you, that we would know your love and grow in your nature and become more like you. And in that, we boldly approach your eternal throne without fear. We boldly approach who you are and declare of the good works that you have done through a life that looks like you. Jesus, guide us these next few weeks and months. Lord, let us not forget that it will be a trial, that if we're to embrace some of these things, it may be painful. Let us give room to reflect on the subjects we talk on and allow them to become a part of who we are. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thank you, Alan.